Well, hello and welcome back to Archaeology News Weekly. It's the 1st of March 2009 and I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website, BAJR. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details in each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Mesolithic finds may delay bypass in northwest England. A triangular temple is unearthed in Cyprus. We now see how flint's importance continued long after the Stone Age. And we've also got the oldest evidence of man yet found in Paraguay. In France, scientists are meeting to save Lascaux Cave from fungus. And 13,000-year-old tools are unearthed in Colorado. And in Mexico, it's been bequeathed 8,000 pre-Hispanic artifacts by a collector. We also report on the plunder of Mohenjo-Daro, which is continuing in Pakistan. And finally, about Neolithic axes found in Britain, which were actually made in Italy. A potentially significant find from the Mesolithic Age was unearthed during survey work for a road known as the Carlisle Northern Development Route in Cumbria, England. It's not been revealed exactly what was found yet and where it was dug up, but it has been described as being on a small plot. Archaeologists have now requested further exploratory work to be carried out. If the find is deemed important enough, a full-scale archaeological excavation will be required. A Cumbria County Council spokesman said that the archaeological evaluation work, which has been carried out along the entire length of the route for the new road, has identified one small area where there is potential for findings of the Mesolithic Age. Archaeologists believe that further exploratory work should be carried out. This will involve more surveys and sample borings to identify whether specific areas require archaeological excavation. Now, this news story has been reported as how it's going to actually delay this bypass. But you have to actually point out that this is a survey. This is why you do evaluation and survey work before any work, so that you actually don't have a delay. So, sorry there to whoever was the news reporter for that. But this is quite good news that they found it so early on, and very exciting for all of us to have yet another Mesolithic site. Anyway, let's go to sunnier climes and to Cyprus. A triangular building dating back to the Bronze Age has been discovered last year by Italian archaeologists digging in Pyrgos archaeological area of Cyprus. The unique construction consists of two rooms arranged in a triangular area and was probably destroyed by an earthquake and abandoned around 1800 BCE. The building seemed destined to be interpreted as a cultic centre due to the presence of an altar flanked by a channel on both sides. The religious use of the building is confirmed by the materials found there, including four calcarenite horns of different sizes, a number of animal bones, mainly fragments of heads of bulls, rams, and dozens of shaped shells. Of interest is the evidence concerning the presence of the altar, with the channel on its sides for the collection and disposal of sacrificial liquids. Ugh. Moreover, the unique triangular shape of the complex seems to have been an enlarged replica of a smaller triangular construction located in the middle of the longest side of the main building. This smaller element could belong to the first phase of a temple in the early Bronze Age, as its foundations run deeper than the outer walls. A large hole encircled by a double line of stones in the middle of the smaller triangular construction was probably the original location of the Pythos jug that was found in fragments around the altar. Fragments of the second Pythos jar were unearthed on the southern side of the altar as well. Meanwhile, a fragmentary four-legged red-polished bull of a very rare shape was found on the channel near the door passage. Sounds like a rather exciting sight to me. In Texas, you can still see metates lying on the desert stand, which are the flat grinding stones used by Native Americans to grind corn together with handheld stones called manos. These stones are still used for this purpose. Metates and manos are survivors of the Stone Age, when people used rocks to make a wide variety of specialized tools and weapons. Chert, however, especially the dark variety known as flint, was among the favorite raw material, with nodules of flint and chert being easily napped with a stone hammer or fractured by the applying of pressure with a stone or deer antler. Stone Age artisans used these methods to skillfully fabricate razor-sharp knife blades, scrapers, and arrows and spear points. In Texas, flint and chert can be found lying on the surface or in seams in the limestone. In fact, seams of flint several inches thick can be seen in road cuttings along the Interstate 10 west of Junction. In several places, chert is visible on the surface where Stone Age people could have collected it, and also they dug quarries to collect even more of the stuff. During Stone Age times, the trading of both raw chert and weapons and tools was a major form of commerce. Archaeologists have traced ancient trade routes by identifying the origins of chert and flint used to make the stone tools and weapons. Over the centuries, stone-tipped spears and arrows were eventually replaced by metal, but flint still remained in use. Even with the invention of the firearm, flint was used to ignite the black powder that propelled bullets through the gun barrels. And when the Spanish, French and English did battle with American Indians, who were in some ways still living in the Stone Age, both sides were employing weapons equipped with flint. One side used ancient flint-tipped arrows, the other used flint to fire its guns. Well, what a lovely story. It's nice when people can just get along. Spanish experts have found evidence of the presence of man in Paraguay dating back more than 5,000 years. The find was made during the course of an investigation being conducted into the heritage of the Pai Tavitera Indians. The remains of ancient man's presence, which were not specified, were found in the hill known as Jascula Venda by the team from the Altamira Museum in Spain, which is responsible for looking after the same-named cave containing the famous Upper Paleolithic cave paintings in Europe. The museum will present details of the Paraguay find at the International Congress on Cave Art, which will be held in July. But Museum Director José Antonio Lacheras is scheduled to travel to Paraguay within the next few days to provide the Pai people and Paraguayan society an advanced report on the results of the investigation. The Altamira Museum stated that, besides the evidence of human presence in Paraguay, archaeologists had also found examples of cave art in the footstep style, which is well known in countries such as Brazil, Argentina, Chile and Bolivia. The Pairreta Juaju Association of Communities, the legal owners of the hill, pushed for the archaeological study in the area and requested the collaboration of the Altamira Museum to inventory its cultural heritage. The Paraguayan government is interested in expanding the cooperation that has been made possible by this archaeological work. Geologists, biologists and other scientists convened in Paris recently to discuss how to stop the spread of fungal stains aggravated by global warming that are threatening France's prehistoric Lascaux cave drawings. Black stains have spread across the cave's prehistoric murals and of bulls, felines and other images, and scientists have been hard-pressed to halt the fungal creep. Marc Gaultier, who heads the Lascaux Caves International Scientific Committee, said the challenges facing the group are vast and global warming now poses an added problem. All of Lascaux's problems have been linked to the cave's internal microclimate by stopping air from circulating inside the caverns, and thus stagnating it. This makes sending teams of scientists into the affected caverns risky, as their mere presence raises humidity levels and temperatures that could contribute to the growth of the different fungi, algae and bacteria that have attacked the cave over the years. Other factors behind the stains include the presence of naturally occurring microorganisms and the chemical makeup of the rock that forms the cavern walls. For the moment, the cave is completely sealed in the hope that it will heal itself. Two possible solutions to be examined at the conference include the installation of a system to regulate the cave's temperature and the use of biocides which kill the bacteria and have been used in the cave before with mixed results. In 1963, Lascaux, a top tourist destination, was closed to the public after the appearance of green algae and other damage scientists linked to the visitors. A replica of the main Lascaux cavern was built nearby and has become a big tourist draw ever since. Carbon dating suggests the murals were created between 15,000 and 17,500 years ago. Discovered in 1940, the cave is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Well, interesting, you can actually read a lot more about this, and there's a lot of links to follow if you actually go to the original Past Horizons magazine, issue 1. You'll find that at www.pasthorizons.com/magazine. Just scroll down and you'll find your way to issue 1. there we have a large article about the problem. So this has, you know, been going on for quite some time. It's just it would be quite good if people actually got on with doing something about it. But there you go. Landscapers were excavating a hole for a fish pond in the front yard of a Boulder home in Colorado last May when they unearthed some 13,000-year-old tools. They'd stumbled on a cache of more than 83 ancient artifacts buried by the Clovis people. The home's owner, Patrick Mahaffey, thought that they were only a century or two old before contacting researchers at the University of Colorado in Boulder. The cache is one of only a handful of Clovis Age artifacts ever uncovered in North America. The Mahaffey Cache, as it's been called, consists of 83 stone implements ranging from elegantly crafted bifacial knives and a unique tool resembling a double-bitted axe to small blades and flint scrapers. The tools reveal an unexpected level of sophistication, with the design of some of the tools being unnecessarily complicated, both artistic and utilitarian at the same time. The cache was buried 18 inches deep in a coarse sandy sediment overlain by a dark clay-like soil and appears to have been deposited on the edge of an ancient stream and packed into a hole about the size of a large shoebox. The tools are most likely wrapped in a skin that has since deteriorated. The kind of stone that's present isn't widely available in this part of Colorado, and it looks like they were storing material for later use. Mahaffey wants to donate most of the tools to a museum, but plans to rebury a few of them back in his yard. These tools have been associated with these people and this land for 13,000 years, he says, and he would like some of these tools to stay where they belong. Well, yes, but surely I'm a bit confused about this one. I think nice as that concept is, they were actually meant to be taken up and used again, so... which ones do you pick to put back in the ground? Could it be one that actually might answer a lot of amazing questions? Please, Mr. Mahaffey, think about actually donating all of them to a museum. And really, as any archaeologist worth his salt should be trying to get in there and ensure that none of these tools get reburied. So special plea from myself, Mr. Mahaffey, please, 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 hand them all over to the museum to be studied. Just amazing what could be found. This is too important to go back in the ground. Mexican authorities unveiled a stunning collection of 8,000 pre-Hispanic antiquities, some dating back 3,000 years, donated to the state by a private collector. Experts say it is the most spectacular private collection ever unveiled in Mexico, given the number of artifacts, the variety, and their general condition. The collection was put together in the 1940s by an American dentist, Miguel Leoff, and then maintained by his wife, who decided to donate the collection to Mexico at the end of last year. In Mexico, archaeological pieces are considered to be state property, but a 1972 law allowed them to be held by private individuals, providing they were officially declared. Some of the items were purchased in Mexico, others were for sale at galleries in the United States and Europe, and the collection has been properly registered with the Mexican authorities. The donation marked the recovery of a collection that otherwise would have been lost due to the looting that has occurred in archaeological sites ever since. Some of the pieces have been damaged, though, or ill-considered attempts have been made to restore them using, of all things, no surprise as he was a dentist, dental materials. Pakistani authorities appear to be very slow in preventing the theft of precious artifacts from the Mohenjo-Daro site, according to an official document. Mohenjo-Daro was the largest city settlement of the Indus Valley civilization of South Asia, situated in the province of Sindh in Pakistan. Built around 2600 BCE and abandoned around 1900 BCE, the city was one of the early urban centres of the world. A revised master plan for the conservation and promotion of cultural tourism at Mohenjo-Daro awaits the federal government's nod, but the ancient site, falling under the federal government's jurisdiction, is regrettably facing a double whammy. Non-stop pillage of antiquities and severe seepage and damage, which has been revealed lately in a new document. Major features of the revised master plan are archaeological conservation, acquisition of land, further excavation and conservation, landscaping and environmental development, a tourism monument plan, and an interpretation system as well. The Ministry of Culture had rejected the original plan requiring funds worth 6.5 billion rupees in 5 years for the development of the site, with instructions to officials at the site to bring it down to one-third. The document links non-implementation of laws and paucity of funds to the stealing and smuggling of precious artefacts and relics to other countries. At first, the Prime Minister's Secretariat promoted the preparation of a comprehensive master plan that may be pursued by the Ministry of Culture. But despite its presentation and revision, everything is now at a standstill. The new plan emphasises promotion of cultural tourism and also envisages milestones such as building a World Coal Management Scheme in the Pakistan Expert Advisory Committee. Work is, which is committed to the success and funding of the Mohenjo-Daro development works. This all just sounds like far too much red tape. It's very simple. You get yourself a good fence around the site. You get yourself some good, well-paid guards around the site. And then, basically, you start from there. Anyway, that is going to cost you an awful lot less than 6.5 billion rupees. It's a mystery that could shed light on life in Hampshire in England 6,000 years ago. Four Stone Age axes were found at Hill Head and Titchfield near Farnham, and Bewley in New Forest, as well as Barton-on-Sea. The tools, which are now in Winchester City Council's collection, have been analysed and found to originate in the North Italian Alps, dating from around 4,000 BCE. They had been carried for many miles before they were lost in Hampshire, but no one knows why or how they got there. Helen Rees, Winchester's curator of archaeology, said the origins were a mystery. She added that there was probably a movement of people and the axes were brought in by settlers, or they maybe were even traded in. The research is part of Project Jade, a 3-year, 1 million euro programme which is funded by the French government. The analysis, undertaken at the British Museum, measured the electromagnetic radiation in the axes. The results can then be compared with those from rocks from known sources. In 2003, extraction sites for the distinctive and beautiful greenstone known as jadeite was discovered high up in the northern Italian Alps. The Hampshire axes were found to be from this source. The axes date from the Neolithic period, a time of great change that saw the first farmers arriving in Britain from northwestern Europe. Researchers believe that the jadeite axes were valued not just for their practical use, but also for their magical properties. Meanwhile, a fifth specimen from Shawford Down near Winchester, which had been recently donated to the museum, was pronounced by researchers to be probably not alpine. Further work is underway to find out exactly where it did come from. Could be one of these rare elements, a British hand axe. Well, anyway, that's us at the end of the news for this week. It just goes for me to say there are many other wonderful resources out there on the World Wide Web, and two of the best ones, of course I'll say that, are Past Horizons. That's www.pasthorizons.com. There you can get access to magazines, a TV section, tool store, and archaeological opportunities to volunteer around the world. You've also, of course, got Badger, my own website, www.bajr.org. If you're into UK archaeology, that's the place to go. And remember, more can always be found at Stone Pages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks for listening to the Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return again to us next week.